while we're waiting, if you've got Bibles and stuff with you, if you could turn to Matthew 21, we're going to start at verse 23. Matthew 21, verse 23. It's in here somewhere, I've seen it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're the God that can do all things, can do the impossible. Yeah. And Lord, this morning we just want to open our hearts and our minds to what you need to speak to us about. Sort up the wheat from the chaff of what people really need to hear. So whatever words I speak, Lord, I just pray that they are of you and not of me. And just penetrate into our hearts and change our lives and challenge us more to become more like Jesus. In our Saviour's name we ask. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm very resistant to change. I hate the uncomfortable. I like the familiar. What I know, and actually, if we're not careful, if you're like me, I do it with even that thinking about it. Now, I was going to say something about the chairs in church, but since half the church isn't even here, because I would bet I could virtually name where everybody sits every week without even thinking about it. Yes. Well, I was going to say within two chairs, Sue. So, I mean, we are creatures of habit, aren't we? We can't help ourselves. I remember we were in the community centre many moons ago now, and somebody had just about become a Christian and was told that you're ahead of setting up and setting down now. And this bright spark decided to turn the chairs the other way around, because it used to be set up like this in the, it's a sort of rectangular room, and it was set up like this lengthways. And some bright spark, I don't know who he was, but I've seen him in the mirror every now and again, decided to turn the chairs 90 degrees and face that way. Man, did we have a revolution on hands. I'm surprised half the church didn't turn up the next week, because everyone was thinking, my word, what has he done? And it took weeks for everybody just to get their head around that the chairs had been turned 90 degrees. You see, we don't like our world shook up, do we? Because it becomes uncomfortable for us. Because when we shake something up, it exposes things from the underneath, what we really like. It's a bit like a champagne bottle. When you shake it and shake it and shake it, at one point the cork pops off and what's exposed is left behind. And there's less to drink, which is more frustrating. So in Matthew 21:23 says this. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him, and he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority? Jesus answered them, I also will ask one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also tell you what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? And they discussed amongst themselves, saying, well, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then do you not believe him? But if you say from man, we're afraid of the crowd. They will hold John the Baptist as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I will do these things. See, here we're now in the latter part of Matthew's gospel. And Jesus is now really ramping up his message of who he is and what he came to do. Here he's being challenged by what authority Is he doing these things? In a world where authority is measured by outward appearance, measured by power and position, the Pharisees are seeing what they thought was right before God, their norm. It's always been done this way. Being shaken up. They were in a world that was comfortable to them, and they were in control of it. So what has this upstart who's just ridden in a donkey to Jerusalem telling me what to do? Now, a lady called Eileen, many years ago, some of us will remember, lovely young lady, gave me a book years ago called The Perfect Storm. And I read it, which is pretty good for me because I don't read books normally. And it was intriguing because the story was about the Jewish nation and the Romans sort of clashing with each other. And if you imagine in circular things like Olympic rings, in comes Jesus and really shakes up their world. And it was a brilliant book because it exposed the Jewish nation for what it is, the Roman nation for what it is, and the world for what it is. You see, the question of who Jesus is and what he has done, continues to do, and will continue to do in the future, is a question not only for the Pharisees, not throughout the Gospels, but through the generations, and is still being asked today by the world. By what authority does he do these things? Because what he has done, does, and continues to do is totally countercultural to the world we live in. It pushes against and shakes up what the world holds dear. The power, positions, what outward appearance, what we look like, the familiar we hold on to, the comfortable things we're in, all is getting shaken up by Jesus. And actually the truth about ourselves and what we like to keep hidden, Jesus also has come to expose for what it is. And what it all is lies of Satan. He has come to expose the lies of Satan to the world. See, Jesus' way is far too threatening for the world to cope with. So what does the world do? It decides to get rid of him. Or so they thought. See, just before he ascended to the Father, in Matthew 28, he comes up with the Great Commission. He declares over his 11 followers that all authority has been given to him. And this declaration is the foundational truth of his authority as a king, the king. And the basis for his commands he gives to his disciples then and today, to go and make more disciples. Jesus now is delegating his authority now to us. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And just like his disciples back then, bewildered, confused, even doubting, Jesus tore that curtain from top to bottom to allow them into his permanent presence. Commissioning his bewildered, confused, doubting bunch of uncertain followers to go into the world and shake it up with the very presence of their Saviour and expose it for what it is. Matthew 16:19 says that he's given the keys of the kingdom to his followers. And actually this is echoing Isaiah 22:22. Whatever the keys of the kingdom shall open, none shall shut. And whatever the kingdom shall shut, none shall open. You see, it's not about brute force. It's about having the right to exercise the kingdom authority in us. As a community of believers, a new community, a radical community, a community where a right relationship with Jesus is important. Who's humble enough to allow him to guide us to the power of the Holy Spirit. A community of believers under the divine rule of God's authority. It's not about power and position. It's all about service. Living under God's kingdom's authority. It's about taking Jesus seriously, and it's about coming to terms with his authority and living under it. And as the Sermon on the Mount says, it lays the principles of living for that kingdom. It teaches us how to pray, live, and have faith in this new paradigm that Jesus is bringing. You see, when Jesus asked the Pharisees about John the Baptist, whether he was from God or from man, it brings them face to face of who they are and what they're doing. At that moment, Jesus exposes their hearts. The Pharisees were not interested in the truth, but only keeping up appearances, a reputation of power, position, and keeping all that intact. See, they didn't want to change. They didn't want their world shaken up. See, God's reign is in the spiritual realm. It's not a physical one. And Jesus states his kingdom is not of this world, indicating that the spiritual rather than political or geographical. See, the kingdom of heaven in Matthew's gospel refers to God's active rule and authority. It is alive. It is moving. His authority, therefore, lies not in the outward authorities that we know, but in the inward. Jesus taught that his kingdom was present in his midst. See, the world never got rid of Jesus. He's always been here. And he lies in the heart of every single believer. Jesus isn't interested in our outward appearance, what people think of us. He's not about seeking power or position or trying to keep control over things we want. Jesus is interested in the inner appearance. He wants to know how clean our hearts are. And he's seeking those who are willing to have their hearts cleaned. And that means for some of us, our world needs shaking up. It means sometimes our world has to become uncomfortable, because it exposes our heart for what it really is. As the power of the Holy Spirit transforms us more into Christ's likeness, that's why the Pharisees didn't want Jesus' teaching, because it exposes them for what they really are. We need to be a habitation of God, to dwell in us, so his authority comes through us in the community around us. We have been passed the keys of the kingdom. We are carrying out the fulfillment of Isaiah 22:22, where God shuts things, he will not be opened. And when he opens things, it will never be shut. And authority, our authority, to go and shake up this world comes from who we are. It comes from where our identity lies. We are children of the living, active God. Amen. We are co-heirs in Christ. Amen. Citizens of the King. Citizen of God's kingdom. Amen. Amen. We are not of this world. We are only in it. We belong to the spiritual realms, and we can exercise our authority not by brute force, but by the God-given right he's given to us. Yes, maybe we're like those first disciples, confused, bewildered even, and let's be truthful, some of us doubting. But remember, Jesus promised this in his Great Commission, that he will be with us till the end of age. Did you know that Matthew's gospel starts with, in chapter 1:23, Emmanuel, God with us. And did you know that Matthew's gospel ends in chapter 28 with Emmanuel, until the end of age. God will never leave nor forsake you or me. No matter what we step out for his, in his name, he is with us. The power of the Holy Spirit within us will shake up this world if we allow him to work through us. You see, entering into the kingdom requires a spiritual birth and a transformation of our hearts and our minds. So it becomes our way of life in which we actively seek to live to according to God's principles, showing compassion to people, love to people, have faith in our King, obedience to his will. Jesus tore that curtain from top to bottom to allow us all who believe to come in to his presence, into that spiritual realm, to commission us, his bewildered, confused, and doubting followers, to go into that world, go and shake it up in the very presence of our Saviour. The kingdom involves the community of believers under the banner of Jesus, who are called to live under his authority, to bring a new vision of God's new order into the world, to go out and turn this world the right way up, a kingdom community of love, care for one another, of mutual encouragement and an unwillingness to compromise the truth of the gospel message. Yes, we will be challenged. By what authority do we do these things? Our answer? By the authority of the one true King, Jesus, who dwells in every believer. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you never leave nor forsake, that your very presence is with us through the walk of life. And I pray tonight, today, especially for myself, you know, that I get challenged by this. I doubt. I get confused. I'm a bit bewildered at times by what you're challenging me to do. But Lord, I know that you are with me. Your very presence is in me, as it is in every believer in this room. So Lord, empower us through the Holy Spirit to go and shake up this world, not in our way, our strength and our will, but in yours. Because that is the only way the world will see itself as it is. So Lord, expose the things that need exposing in our lives. Challenge us to become more Christ-like, but help us to remember who we are. Children of the living God, who wants to be active in this world. Help us to be that habitation where you can dwell to impact the community around us so more people see Jesus through us. We ask this in our Saviour's name. Amen.